Welcome to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines, changing the conversation around divorce. This show is sponsored by Penguin in the Room. Penguin in the Room is an award-winning arts marketing and social media management company. If you want to jazz up your socials and have someone Instagram and tweet for you, then here's your answer. Go to www.penguinintheroom.com. As always, hit subscribe to make sure you're updated about new episodes. And we love to hear from you on social media at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. You can also email us. All the info's on our website, thedivorcesocial.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I am joined by Sue Atkins, parenting author and broadcaster. Welcome to The Divorce Social.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
Lovely to have you here. Now, you are divorced. How does it make you feel when I say that?
Yes, I'm through that bad patch, the eye of the storm. It was the most horrific experience, I think, of my life. I used to go to bed and wake up at 3 a.m. and think, yes, that wasn't a nightmare. That's my real life. And I found it incredibly stressful, really full of anxiety, all sorts of huge emotions. And I wrote loads about it. I've written a book for kids on it. And I've also wrote a lot of blogs and articles around it because I found that cathartic to help me. And I found other people's writing, a great few blogs I used to read, because I didn't want to join the pity party. I wanted to empower myself as well. But I realized I needed to go through this kind of process so that you don't just go from, you know, distraught to, you know, rising again like a phoenix. It takes as long as it takes. And any major life change, whether that's bereavement, redundancy, or, you know, divorce, actually takes between 18 months and 2 years to process. So I knew that from my psychology studies and stuff. And so I kind of, you know, went through it. But there's a big difference between knowing it and experiencing it. It's not easy and it's not terribly pleasant, even though it wasn't really hammer and tongs. It was sort of amicable, if you can have an amicable divorce.
It's funny you said that you used to wake up at 3 a.m. and think, that's not a nightmare, that's my life.
Yeah.
I think I used to have those moments where I'd wake up feeling like everything was fine and then sort of remember all over again and then it hits you. So I can definitely relate to that. But I like your metaphor of rising like a phoenix because people can't see this, but you do also have red hair. So you are quite phoenix-like now.
Yes, and I actually bought a ring that was, and I spent ages, you know, online looking for a ring with a phoenix on it that didn't look too like I rode a bike, you know, I wasn't a biker or anything. But I found one and I used to wear a ring that sort of reminded me that you do turn the corner. And I didn't want to say my natural disposition is not a bitter and twisted and angry person, although I was incandescently angry at times, but I didn't want to stay stuck there because, you know, that's like Nelson Mandela says, it's like drinking poison and expect the other person to die, you know. So you don't want to stay stuck in that angry place. Use it as rocket fuel to take yourself somewhere more positive and better.
I love that you can quote Nelson Mandela in your angry phase. I think I was just like punching things and like crying on the floor and throwing his post across the room. And I also had an amicable breakup.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I work with lots of women in particular and families now going through divorce. And yes, you know, they go through these very strong phases, and it's not always amicable, and it's not always very edifying, and it's not very nice. And certainly if you can keep it out of court is my message, because that then just, otherwise you're just feeding the sort of the lawyers, you know, fees, which strikes me as mad. Hang on to as much money as you can to provide for yourself and your kids, because you've got to take that longer term view. You know, you have the short term, the medium term, and then you must take the long term. Remember, friend of mine, and she went through a divorce 15 years before me, so a long time before me, and you know, she gave away the house practically. They made this arrangement informally that when the youngest was 18, that they would then, you know, decide what to do with the house then. And of course she had to take out another mortgage at 56, and he bought a couple of buy-to-lets. So I'm not bitter and twisted about that, but my advice to her was correct. Do check out the pension. Don't leave yourself short long term because you just want to be shot of that person. Do actually get some proper financial advice and treat it as a business transaction. Very difficult to do, but very important to try.
Yeah, it is very difficult to do because there's so much emotion wrapped up in all that money and that house and all those financials. But yeah, I agree that I think it's important to get financial advice and know where you stand. And actually, a lot of people listen to the podcast who are maybe considering getting divorced and haven't taken that step yet. And so I always say, get some financial advice before you do it, if you can, just so you know where, practically, where you stand.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk to you about your Phoenix ring that you mentioned. Do you, because we've talked on the podcast before about like divorce rings, because you get an engagement ring.
Right. Yeah.
Did you see it as a sort of divorce ring? Was it a celebration of you being with you? Because I have one of them. I bought a ring for myself on my first Valentine's Day alone. And I thought, oh, I'm going to take this, you know. It wasn't super expensive, but it was a bit of money. And I was like, I'm going to celebrate this. And, you know, and I wear it on my wedding finger, but on my other hand.
Yeah, mine was more of a fuck you ring.
Sure. just as good.
Yeah. And it was symbolic for me for a while. And then I noticed I stopped wearing it, and I didn't wear it after a while. I didn't need it.
So where is it now? This Phoenix
ring. It's upstairs, actually. Funny you should say, in the bathroom, in one of the nice, pretty little, you know, things where you keep your trinkets. I do know where it is.
And I used to ask people what they've done with their wedding bands and engagement rings. Do you know where those are?
Oh, yes. They're both upstairs in my jewellery box. Yeah. And unfortunately, as life gets in the way, they don't fit me anymore because I've put on some weight. Anyway, who'd want to wear them again?
They're not in the same box as the Phoenix fuck you ring.
No, they're in different places.
They'd be having fights all the time.
Yeah. At night, they'd come out and be, you know, fisticuffs.
You wouldn't be able to sleep with all that clinking metal.
Oh, no, that's just like Toy Story. I'm muddling it up.
So I want to take you back to that breakup moment, if I can, of the catalyst of you deciding that you wanted to get divorced. And we don't have to go into why, but do you remember those difficult feelings of waking up? And how did you get through that very initial emotional period?
Oh, I remember exactly when I discovered that. And you just go cold, don't you? Well, that's how I went. I just went, this is not happening to me. I cannot believe this is happening to me. And then you go, right, deep breath. Oh, crikey, what do I do now? So I remember going up to the house because I was in my office. We had some stables and I used to work down there with my clients and stuff. And I went back up and grabbed my coat and went to see my best friend and said, can you put the kettle on? Because I didn't want a glass of wine because, of course, you've got to drive home. So, yes. Oh, yes. I don't think you ever forget those very traumatic moments in your life, do you? You can work through them because obviously I'm an NLP master practitioner and I do this for a living, helping other people go through these very important emotions and working through them, understanding them, but coming out the other side of them. But I knew where I was. I was right in the eye of the storm with some of that. And you just have to live it. You can't just sort of intellectualize it and go, oh, yes, I know what I should do or what I would recommend to another client. You have to live it, and you live it for a long time, and it is painful and difficult and challenging.
I love that you were so practical on that realization that you like got in the car and drove to see your best friend and had a cup of tea. Like, I feel like a lot of people would just shut down. I think I just cried. I cried, yeah, and stayed at home for a full week. And my sister had to come and see me. Do you remember what was that need that you had? What was that impulse to see your friend?
To get out of the house. I had to get away. I had to escape. I had to run off. I had to leave the scene of the crime. That's what that emotion was actually about. And who else do you go to? I've got two lovely, great friends. One's too far away. She'd be an hour away. And the other one was just, you know, 20 minutes up the road. It's there because you also want to go to someone who knows you, understands you and loves you, I suppose, in your moment of crisis.
And what was it like breaking the news then to your best friend so immediately as well?
Yes. Well, she's just very placid and calm. That's why I like her as well. We don't do drama, if you like. I don't tend to do drama. I'm dramatic in many ways, but when I'm talking about something very important, I don't, you know, make a meal out of things. So I suppose she was a great safe pair of hands to go to, you know, and talk it through. And don't forget, I am in a heightened state of emotions. I'm not sitting there just drinking a cup of tea and saying, oh dear, my life's imploded, you know.
Well, I was wondering. It all sounds very calm.
No, it wasn't like that. It's a heightened sense of emotions, but in a safe place. So that seemed like the right thing to do. And also you've got to process your own emotions. What are you going to say to the kids? What are you going to say, you know, to the other person? Yeah. It's not easy. And you know, I haven't thought about these emotions for a very long time. So,
and you've mentioned obviously that you're an NLP practitioner, master practitioner, and you work with people now to help them through these times. What was it like knowing all you know, but feeling how your clients feel?
I think it was empowering if you wanted to. You don't have to walk the journey that everyone has to go through if you're going to coach someone or work with them. But I do think it gives you a depth of understanding, a real empathy, compassion, and more kind of patience with people.
Do you think you were patient with yourself?
Yes, I think so. I think I looked after my mental health, my well-being. I knew sort of things that make me feel better, that nurture me. And, you know, people do all sorts of things. They buy lots of shoes. They drink lots of wine. Sometimes they get very, you know, promiscuous. They do all sorts of stuff.
That's what I did. Had lots of sex.
Okay. It was great. Got promiscuous. Yeah. Well, it is and it isn't. It's everybody's journey. There is no right and no wrong. And there is just your way of dealing with it. But if you find you've got stuck and you're not happy in what you're doing, then it's time to what I call pause to ponder. You know, you take that kind of like imaginary remote control on the TV and you press pause button, you take a physical step back and you just go, what is this really about? Why am I doing this? Why am I unhappy doing this? What is it I need to change, or what is it I need to do to take better care of myself and take me into a different place?
And do you think you had any of those moments yourself during your breakup? That you had to take a step back?
Yeah, so I suppose I stepped back and paused to ponder a few times, but again, not obsessively, you know. And, you know, I'm human like everybody else. I broke a big old photo with the photo of us together. You know, let's break that up and chuck it on the floor and jump on it and stuff. You know, I'm only normal.
I spoke to Michaela Sharp in this series about a similar thing of she broke a glass, but then immediately afterwards she was like, well, I have to clean that up now because I'm the only one here. Which I love. And I just imagine you jumping up and down on this photo frame and then being like, right, I better clear that up then.
Yeah, but mind my feet, you know, don't cut your feet.
Wear shoes. So we mentioned earlier about breaking it to your best friend. But then obviously breaking your divorce to other people and children can be particularly tricky. And I know you help a lot of people, and you obviously have a book about children dealing with divorce. what do you think is the best way? If someone's listening and they're like, oh my God, I have to tell my children, what do they need to do?
It's about sitting down with a cup of coffee and getting a piece of paper and jotting down just a few things you want to say, because in the moment you get very emotional. And if you do it with your partner or your soon to be ex-partner, it can bring up an awful lot of triggers for both of you. And you want to try and get this right for the kids. And the other thing is to think about when you're going to do it. Don't do it on a Sunday night, just, you know, sitting on the end of their bed before they go to sleep, ready for the next week. Plan it. Think about what you want to say, how you want to say it, when you're going to say it. And another tip I have is draw a circle on a piece of paper and put some spokes into it and write down assurances that stay the same, because you can't promise, you don't know what's going to happen a lot of the time. But there are certain things you do know, like you will still see Emily, your best friend, at ballet on Fridays at 4 o'clock. You know, will you see grandma? Well, make sure if you do, you say that to them. You'll still stay at the same school. You know, I don't know if you don't know about whether you're going to stay in the same home. Don't say anything, because you need to build trust there. They're going to look to you to try and guide them. And don't tell them fibs and lies, because you just want to make it all right. Because then, you know, in the next week or so, that all just falls apart, because then they'll feel uncertain and they'll feel more anxious than if you hadn't actually said anything at all. So plan it is the important thing. And don't plan it when you're at a really heightened sense of anger. You know, go for a good old run or a walk or whatever you do to kind of get yourself grounded. That's when you get the piece of paper out and put a few bullet points down and say what you need to say. And hopefully your partner might, you know, back you up on some of that. But there's two key messages. One is they are not to blame. Children always blame themselves. Even if they're four, they go, well, is it because I jumped in and out of your bed at night and daddy's got cross because, you know, you couldn't sleep? Or a teenager has said, is it because I didn't get the grades I was supposed to get? You know, children will blame themselves. So one key message is to make sure that they know that it's not their fault. People fall out, relationships change. You know, you can relate it depending on the ages and stages of your kids. And the other thing to sort of say to them is you will always love them. The home may change, you might have two houses, but the love will always stay the same. And if you can manage to co-parent somewhat amicably, putting the children at the centre of that process, then your children will not be damaged by it. They recover, they're resilient, but they don't recover from continuous arguments and slagging off. And that really isn't very edifying. So try and rise above that side of it.
Yeah, I watched a couple of your YouTube videos actually, and they're really useful for anyone going through this. And also I love what you say about tell them the things that are staying the same, because I think that's so important. I was quite old when my parents split up. They never actually got a divorce. But I remember the idea that everything was going to change. Still at that age, I was like, what's going to happen? What's the plan? You know, are you selling the family home? Where are you all going to live? Like that. Those are the things I sort of wanted to know. So I think that's really good advice. And I think I've spoken to a lot of parents on the podcast, and people also we have like a little chat room on my Patreon where people kind of share experiences, and a lot of people wonder if they should do the thing of you're going to have two Christmases, is that actually going to be great? What would you say to people wondering if they should go down that route?
Take your time on stuff like that. Over time, it might be lovely that actually you can have a real Christmas tree if you always just had a plastic one in the past. Create new traditions. And that is quite nice, but not when you're in the eye of the storm and you've just discovered it. You go, well, it's going to be so great at Christmas. It's going to be lovely. You know, have two birthday parties. That's not quite what kids are ready to hear. The interesting thing is also, you know, choose your moments in how you do it. I remember working with a client. Normally, I don't go and visit people's houses, but I went to, really wanted me to. And they told the four kids with me there, which I found, oh, goodness, you know, how not to do it. And then the dad got up and went off into the car and left. And the children were bereft. They thought he'd gone forever. So, of course, you've got to try and work out what reactions the children might have. Sometimes they go, you know, oh, okay, fair enough. Who's going to look after the guinea pig? And they're pretty matter of fact. Other times, if they're teenagers, perhaps they might burst into tears. You just never know how they're going to react. So be mindful about after what you've told them, what are you going to do then? Don't just sort of leave. Try and make it sort of practical that perhaps you then go to the park or you do something, or, you know, you chat to them about the questions and stuff like that. So, yeah, don't jump into making it happy clappy if it's genuinely not quite there yet. Let it percolate, and then the children and the new things that come in might well be lovely and different, you know.
You said earlier about picking the time you do it. Don't do it on a Sunday night before they go to sleep on the end of their bed. What is the perfect time to tell your children that you're getting divorced?
Well, that's why you need to think about it. And you need to think, well, am I going to be interrupted by my phone going off? Is it tea time? Is there a favourite programme on the telly that, you know, is going to distract us? So pick your time. Choose your time carefully. When will we have some uninterrupted time where we choose to sit down and we talk to them about what's going to happen in a sort of, you know, as best we can? And of course, there's no ideal time and an ideal place. But don't just do it, you know, with a throwaway line because you're angry about something. Do it with care and consideration, because it's a very important moment. I had a client, I remember talking to her about divorce, and she was going through one herself. But she remembered her own parents divorcing 50 years earlier. And she said, I was wearing my green dress with my red shoes and I had my favourite cardigan on. She went straight back to that moment when they told her. So that's how powerful it is. So do try and get it right. Well, none of us are perfect, but give it a bit of thought, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember the whole kind of day around when my parents told me that they were splitting up, and it, you know, exactly what happened. And I remember all those feelings even now. And that happened when I was an adult. But so you'd think I'd deal with it better, but I don't know. It's an interesting one, isn't it? But it sometimes I think it feels like you can't really win, like you're always going to do something wrong or you're always going to mess up. I don't have children, so I'm just going to mess up my pets. But I think the worry is you're always going to mess them up in some way.
Well, there's a poster that goes around. It's something I created and it says there's no such thing as a perfect parent. So just be a real one. Because you can't get it right all of the time. Unless my dad said to me once, Sue, I've never done this before, when he was talking about his parenting, and I thought he knew everything. And I'm like, oh, really? So you don't always get things right, but you try and make fail forward and you try and sort of try and get it right. And that will make a difference. And you know, kids are very forgiving about life and you, and they love you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You.
It's the ad break, so it's a perfect time to remind you to hit subscribe to be notified about more episodes. You can also leave us a lovely review, because honestly, it makes a difference to the chart positions. And one time I was in the charts next to Michelle Obama and I was really thrilled about it. So it'd be nice to do that again. You can also join in the conversation on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Divorce Pod. We have a website, thedivorcesocial.com. And you can also join us for our like 90s style divorce chat room experience over on Patreon. So just go to patreon.com/Samantha Baines, B-A-I-N-E-S. And it starts at £2 a month. And we all have lovely and awful and amazing chats. See you there. So you got divorced. You broke it to everyone. You were being Phoenix-like and trying not to be angry and bitter. Were there any things that you did at that time, or even that friends or close ones to you did, that you found particularly useful in a kind of recovery?
Now, my dear friend won't be listening to this, I'm sure, or she is. I'm sorry, I won't mention her name. But she never actually got divorced, but she separated 20 years ago. And she never quite, I don't understand why you don't break that and move on, personally. But every time, if you turn up at the cricket, when her sons are playing cricket and my son is joining in and playing cricket and we're all out there having a picnic, she won't talk to him and turns away and the atmosphere is just dire. And I thought, you don't want to do it like that. I mean, it's so cringy for everybody that's concerned, you know. Why can't you get over it? Or why can't you just get a proper divorce then? Then, you know, you're still dragging the old stories up. And there are triggers. You know, sometimes if we go racing or something, not that I go racing very often, but, you know, she'll suddenly go, oh, I remember that time. And you think, my God, that's 20 years ago, that story. Get over it. So you don't want to be like that. And I remember thinking, I don't want to do it like you've done it. And she's lovely and she's my great friend. But how not to do it, I think, really. Get a clean break so you can move on and so your family and your kids and everyone can move on. And then do try and sort of see the good in the other person too when they've moved on. You can't do that immediately either. That's too soon. But eventually, just take yourself out to 15 years or 10 years and say, how do you want the kids to describe this experience to their kids?
I'm interested in the experience of your friend because, you know, there must have been some real trauma there for her to still feel like that 20 years later. And we never know what's happened in people's lives. And I think there's always quite a strong focus on the woman, if it's a heterosexual relationship, to kind of forgive and be very friendly. And sometimes no one thinks about what the man's reaction to everything is. Have you ever spoken to her about that?
Of course. Oh, my God. Yes, of course, because I don't hold back, do I? You can tell I'm sort of like all guns blazing and I'm going, why? What is that? Why don't you? And I've lost track of. So anyway, that was just an emotion and an observation that I thought, that's not how I want to do it.
I think it is important, obviously, to learn from other people's experiences. But do you find because of what you do, you feel like you have to counsel everyone through stuff?
Oh, I used to go through that bit of a phase, and that's a pain in the arse, isn't it, being like that? I do notice sometimes with some colleagues, I used to be a deputy head and class teacher for 22 years. So I still meet up with my pals sometimes, you know, my teacher pals. And they sort of see me, I don't know, as this wise woman. Is that because I've turned 60? I don't know, probably. And, you know, you can turn into kind of when you're out and about, certainly if someone's house or so, or when we're in someone's garden nowadays, chatting, and then they'll ask my advice and I kind of go into work mode because I really rather like asking people better questions to help take them into a better place. But then I have another friend, Ed, who says, you're not doing that coaching thing on me, are you? So I learned very quickly to let him get on with his own mess. That's fine.
So going back to you and your experience, you're divorced, you've got your children. When do you start dating again? How did you delve into the dating world?
Oh, God, the murky world of online dating. Well, I was catfished, I think, 3 times.
I thought,
what? Because I'm very, maybe twice, because I'm very trusting, honest, open, authentic. And I thought everybody else in the world is like me. Oh dear, that's a bit silly. The other thing that was embarrassing is on one of these websites, I had taught this child in my class years ago and I knew that they were still together, but he was on one of these apps. And you think, oh my God, you know, people's lives.
Oh, wow. So with the catfishing, was it, that they were using someone else's photo, or what was the catfish scenario?
Yeah, but no, it was the photo. And of course, what are you drawn to? That's what you put up, isn't it? You put up this picture. So I remember going on for ages on this thing, chat, chat, chat. It was all very good on the app. You know, you've got to stay safe, and I'm very mindful, not foolish like that. Chat, chat, chat. Eventually, after I think 3 or 4 days or more, do you want to go on to WhatsApp? Oh, okay, that's, yeah. And up popped this gorgeous photo, even a different one. I think, oh my God, and you're American, and oh my goodness, that's marvelous. And then, you know, then it was all sort of messing around, and then you think, well, should we talk even? And then it became a little reticent there, and I thought, oh, that's an alarm bell, what's that about? Because then other people say at some point you just got to bite the bullet and meet for a coffee in a public place. So then whatever it was, and I remember it was late on a Saturday evening, and I called the person's bluff and he rang, and then I said, because otherwise you'd think it might be a catfish, and his voice just changed, and I thought, oh my God, what a fool have I been. But luckily nothing bad had happened. A lesson learned for me, I just went, oh, I don't trust people like that. My fingers get burnt. I'd rather meet people in real life and see where life takes me. That's just me. Everybody else has a different experience of it. But you've got to be mindful of it. You've got to be careful of it. And don't do it when you're feeling vulnerable. This was years later when I was, you know, out and about doing my own thing, and I was in a good place. But I think it could be a dodgy place if you're a bit vulnerable and haven't really done the work on your, you know, yourself.
I had a dating experience recently where I've been talking to the guy for quite a while on the apps. And then, yeah, we went to WhatsApp, and then he suggested we had a phone call, and I was sort of very tired and I'd had a stressful day, but I was like, oh, okay, that's a good idea before we meet, see if we hit it off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had a phone call, and then after the phone call, he was like, I don't want to meet you now. Oh. And I just felt such extreme rejection, because I was like, you like my picture. That's normally the thing I worry about, is what if they don't fancy me, but you didn't like my personality. Oh my God. So that felt like quite a strong rejection. I sort of felt it quite hard. How did the catfish moment feel?
Oh, I felt annoyed. And I felt, yeah, I don't like that kind of thing. That's just, people are not truthful. They're not authentic. They're not genuine. And also, yeah, all right, you do it on a picture. And then I know my other friend, she did it, and she put up a photo of herself 10 years earlier. And I thought, you know, and 10 stone lighter, not really, I'm joking, but, you know, I'm thinking, that's not truthful either. You're as bad as them.
Yeah, that is very common on the dating apps.
Yeah, of course it is.
Putting earlier photos.
Yeah, of course.
So did that experience completely put you off apps?
Well, yes, after a while. And investing, you think, oh, these are the cheap ones. Right, so I'll invest a bit more or something, because, you know, that might be better to do the Telegraph one or the Guardian one or whatever it was called. You know, you hear it when I listen to radio now. They go, oh, Heart, you know, oh, have you joined the Heart dating app? Oh, my God. So, yeah, there's all sorts of them out there. And it is for some people. And fair play. I'm not judging. Didn't work out for me. That's all.
So did you find love again?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Because I hear you have some nuptials
well,
coming
up. Well,
there
we are. So I just decided I'd just get on with my life, and I was busy and having fun and meeting friends and doing great work and getting out and about and traveling. This is all before pandemic. And then my daughter, you know, she graduated from university, and I brought the rescue remedy with me in case, because I have to meet my ex for a weekend. And it turned out that we all got on so well, and my son came, and we had such a laugh. We had such good fun in Manchester because it's a brilliant place. We went out to dinner. We went here. We went there. And we kind of struck up a friendship again, and a kind of a, you know, it was quite intriguing. And I thought, gosh, this is really not what I expected. So we got off the train, and then he just said, I don't know if you fancy a dog walk sometime, because we've got these dogs. And I just said, oh, okay, why not? So we met for a dog walk, and we kept meeting for about 2 years. And then, yeah, we moved it into a different dimension. He moved in, and 2 years later again. And we get married on October the 22nd this year.
So this is your ex-husband
yes.
that you divorced. You are real-life Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, no, don't say that. She was married 5 times.
No, but I mean, she married the same person twice.
I think it's quite nice. I see myself as J-Lo and Ben Affleck. All right? That's their story.
Nice
on the Met. Or, you know, awards or something. I saw them. I thought, oh, yes, that's a nice story.
It's like the Parent Trap film. what the children are like dreaming of happening. How did your children take it? Were they pleased or were they a bit weirded out?
Because I didn't quite know what it was, I didn't tell my daughter, and I put up something on Facebook, and it must have put up where I was. She went, "What are you doing in Hitchin?" So we had quite an interesting conversation. I said, "This is not about me being secretive. This is me being private." I didn't quite know what was happening, and I didn't, you know, like I don't rush in like a China bullstar, even though she was in her 20s. Didn't want to, you know, say something that I didn't know what was quite happening. But anyway, they are thrilled. She's buying the cake with my son, and we've got a quiet, small little function, and they're thrilled. And it is a joy and a privilege to me to bring back that sort of family atmosphere. But what I've learned from it is massive appreciation. You can lose track. We've been married, I don't know, 20 odd years, nearly 25 years or something, and you take each other for granted. You'd had a few ups and downs financially, whereas this time, it's very different in that sense. We have a lot in common. We always did have. But as I go into my older age now, it is really nice to have someone to share things with. And we have a great deal in common. We laugh a lot. We like the same sort of stuff on Netflix. And we garden the hell out of the garden. So, you know, small stuff, very grateful. And it's the biggest surprise, really, of my life that that happened.
That's amazing. Is there anything going into another wedding? Is there anything you're going to do differently from your first wedding? I mean, putting aside that it's the same guy, just wedding wise.
No, not really. I think there's a huge attitude of gratitude, a huge feeling of connection and belonging. And that is a gift that I hope I give as well as I receive. And as we grow older, you know, one of the simplest things we really enjoy is the kids coming back, you know, as they've left the nest. They come back. We have barbecues with granddad, who's 93, just turned this week. And I would very much like to do some more traveling again, if we can ever do that. I love that idea. And doing it with someone that you enjoy being with is really wonderful. And I'm very blessed.
Lovely. And obviously, we've talked a lot about your job. What would you say the best thing about your job and what you do is?
Oh, it's a huge honor, privilege to help people through change, to help people feel better in their parenting, to see families heal, to find some harmony and some happiness back in their families, not just through divorce, because as I say, most of my work is completely broad across, you know, whether they're teenagers or tweens or babies or whatever. So raising a happy, confident kid is actually what I'm all about. Now, I can help parents do that with my techniques, strategies, you know, and the coaching that I do. Then I really feel I've made I've left a legacy and I've made a difference in the world.
Love that. And what do you think the most important thing you learned from your own divorce is?
Don't take things for granted. And I suppose you can never, you always think the grass is greener on the other side, don't you, I suppose, in life. And you can't put, you know, I couldn't go through this experience now, this new one, if I hadn't had the old experience. So mistakes and things that you get wrong, if you learn from them, can actually lead you to a better place.
I totally agree. Well, thank you very much. It's been so nice to chat. Where can people find your book and find your YouTube and all of that?
Well, it's thesueatkins.com, because there was a lady called Sue Atkins sitting on a yacht. So I'm the one and only, thesueatkins.com. It's got everything on there. You can find my YouTube, Sue Atkins, the parenting expert. I'm on Twitter as Sue Atkins, Instagram, Sue Atkins 18, LinkedIn, you know, you name it. If you put in Sue Atkins, I'm like a bad penny. I turn up everywhere. And if you're interested in getting my divorce journal for kids, that is honestly, I put all my heart and soul into that to help children express, understand, and kind of work their way through, you know, their parents' divorce properly. And it'll start conversations, and they can do it on their own, or they can do it with grandma, or they do it with you, just to help them, because you don't want to just leave them with those very strong emotions and they don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, so we should say that. So this is a book that you give your children, and there's like activities and things that they fill out.
That's it. And they draw and all of that.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for that. I feel as if it's been a therapy session for me.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for sharing. It's great. It's great to hear your advice and then also some of your...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Experience as well. So I think people are going to find that really useful.
Thank you for having me. Thanks a lot.
Oh, hi. Thank you for listening to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines. Please leave us a review. Please. It would be super nice. They're lovely to read. They keep me cheery and happy and keep me going. But also it affects our listing in the podcast charts, which are very important because that's how more people find the podcast. And I'd love to help more people get through those really tough heartbreak and divorce times. And they're more likely to find us if we're higher up on the charts. So if you'd like to leave a review, I'd love you forever. You can leave them on iTunes is the big one, or most podcast platforms do them as well. I'll take all the reviews you've got to give. You can also get in contact on Twitter and Instagram at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. We have a website, thedivorcesocial.com, and we have a Patreon account, which means that you can support the podcast for as little as £2 a month. And it helps me with all the admin costs. It also means you have access to our 90s style divorce and heartbreak chat room. And there's lots of exclusives on there, little bits of audio that you don't get in the main podcast, and some giveaways as well. So I'd love to see you over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Samantha Baines. And please leave a review. Did I say that already? Please leave a review. Love you forever.